Hi, my name is Whitney Wasson, and my favorite thing is indoor apartment gardening.
Welcome to the Finding Favorites podcast, where we explore your favorite things without using an algorithm. Here's your host, Leah Jones.
Hello, and welcome to Finding Favorites. I'm your host, Leah Jones. I'm recording this introduction on Saturday, October 3rd. It's going to go with an interview I did on August 29th, which was either a month ago or 5 years ago. It's really hard to track time right now in this stage of COVID and the election cycle. I'm also going to tell you I'm recording this at 1 on Saturday. I'm going to hit publish at midnight on Sunday the 4th. And I feel like in the next 12 hours, the news could change 50 more times. And you're going to listen to this and be like, wow, Leo is so out of touch. So I'm going to finish recording this at 1. And this isn't a podcast about news. So you don't expect me to keep up with the news. So this, like I said, I recorded this interview in August with Whitney Wasson. She is a stand-up comic who we started following each other when I was building up my girl gangs to go see Jackie Cation and Lori Kilmartin in their winter shows at Zany's downtown in Old Town in Chicago. So we've been following each other thanks to Jackie and Lori. So we're going to talk a little bit about stand-up comedy, and we're going to talk a lot about houseplants, apartment gardens. That is our main focus today in Finding Favorites. I hope you are all doing as well as you can be doing as we head into fall. It's hard to believe that October is here, that we're headed into a winter of more staying at home, because we believe in science. We want to protect our neighbors and our community. All the reasons that we've been staying home. So I guess I don't have much more to say in this introduction, other than stay home, stay safe, wear your mask, and wash your hands. Hello and welcome to Finding Favorites. This is a podcast where we talk to people about their favorite things and we get recommendations without using an algorithm. I am your host, Leah Jones, and I am so excited today. I am joined by Whitney Wasson. How are you today, Whitney?
I'm pretty good. Having a good Saturday. What about you?
It's good. It's not so hot and humid. It's definitely summer, but mm-hmm. It's not a heat that kills you.
Yeah, it's not horrible.
Yes. Which I appreciate. At the top of the podcast, I like to explore. So, right, I've got 13 episodes out, which means I am talking almost exclusively to friends and people I know in real life. And we are like new internet acquaintances.
Yes.
You were going to go with me, or we found each other because we were both planning to go see Jackie Cation when she was at Zany's this winter. And I was building up girl gangs to go see Jackie and Lori. Mm-hmm. So we were supposed to meet that night, and the fates weren't with us, so we haven't met. But you're a stand-up comic on a break because mm-hmm. of COVID, and you have a web comic series. Tell me a little bit more about yourself and how this COVID, the great pause, has been for you so far.
You know, I feel like one of the upsides to all of this is that I have made a lot of like Twitter friends and Instagram friends and people that I feel like we wouldn't normally strike up a conversation, you know, or we wouldn't have the opportunity to, I should say, you know. So it's really nice to have kind of found some people with common interests and then have like this, you know, big, like wider network of people to talk to, because we're all bored and sick of being at home.
So bored.
So freaking bored. Yeah. So it's been interesting. I had kind of a strange life event happen before COVID, which was at the end of October of last year. I was hit by a car while walking to a show. And so that was interesting because, like, I keep joking that I've been quarantining since October. So yeah. I've been mostly home. So that was something that, like, affected stand-up for me in a big way. I literally couldn't stand up to do comedy. I had a broken foot. I've been, like, home a lot, and it affected my stand-up schedule. So I was kind of just getting my bearings going to get back out in the world. I was going to go on tour. I had some club dates middle of March. So I was like, I can walk, I'm ready to go. And then COVID hit. So it's been really interesting. This is kind of the most dormant from stand-up I've been since I started in like 2013.
Yeah.
So which is good and bad. You know, it's also given me a lot of time to work on my comics and illustration. And, you know, it's sort of like, I feel like everybody has had a mandatory timeout, you know, and we have to just like figure out what we're doing, like reassess a little bit, you know. So it's been like a period of transition for me, but also I think it's been good because I've had to like, you know, just sit and get work done and, you know, talk to people and kind of forge new friendships.
Yeah. I'm not going to interview about stand-up comedy, but I, and so like 2002 to 2004, I tried doing stand-up comedy.
Mm-hmm.
When there was like one open mic a night, like there were like five open mics in the city.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very different scene. So did you start doing stand-up comedy in Chicago or somewhere else?
I didn't. And it's interesting because like people sort of talk about like what class they're in, like stand-up wise. Like you would be like class of 2002 or 2003.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I came up with a lot of people who are either dead or now famous.
That's so true of stand-up, like at any year, unfortunately. I started in, I'm from Arkansas. So
okay.
I started after college, or sort of at the end of college, in Fayetteville, Arkansas, which is where the University of Arkansas main campus is. So I started there, and then I moved to Chicago in 2015. And I moved here for stand-up and theater.
On the theater side of things, are you an actor or are you like a stage, are you a backstage or an onstage person?
A little bit of everything. I finished my degree and focused on playwriting, but I was very serious about that when I discovered stand-up. And I was like, oh, this is way easier. Like instead of like staging a show, you know, because like even with a one-person show, it requires like 30 people. So when I finished my theater degree and started doing stand-up, it was like, oh man, this is easier. It's fun. There's instant satisfaction. You know, you get instant feedback. So yeah, I moved here and got a theater job at a storefront theater that has since passed on. I worked at American Theater Company doing their marketing. And so my goal was to have like a theater day job and then at night do comedy.
Yeah.
So, but I've done a little bit of everything with stand-up and with theater. I've been front of house, back of house, you know, the star, the stage manager.
Like, yep.
Everything.
That's great. And so you were 7 years in is really typically like you've got your footing, you have mm-hmm. your voice is getting really strong and clarified. Mm-hmm. Like 7 years is a really exciting milestone, I think, as a stand-up.
Yeah, it's and thank you. But COVID is just so crazy. Like in March, I was really excited to go headline a Detroit club,
yeah.
see my friends in Michigan. And it was kind of exciting because I thought like, okay, finally, like I've had some setbacks, but I'm going to go get a headlining weekend. I'm going to go on tour with my friend. Like this is like a great, like kind of cementing my voice moment.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the world just paused. And I did a stand-up show on Zoom for a while,
yep.
like from like May through July-ish. But it's just like, I don't know how you're feeling about Zoom, but like even people who like are excited and want to be there and stuff, like I'm just kind of burnt out. So I wound up like pausing it during the protest to just like kind of catch my breath.
Yeah, I lead a lot. I spend a lot of time on Zoom. I'm president of a synagogue. So that means that I run Shabbat services on the weekend, mm-hmm. which are live streamed. But I'm also running a couple board meetings a month. And this week I had an annual meeting, which is the first Zoom meeting I've chaired with like two pages of faces. And it's a very strange. It's just such a strange time.
Well, you're like stage managing church. You're like producing church, right?
I'm producing church. Yeah.
That's so cool.
It's a very interesting
And I've helped some other friends. I helped a friend who's a pastor with his like Easter service because we had figured out Shabbat and then he had Easter. So I have been training people at churches and synagogues, like how to show a PowerPoint.
Yeah.
How to seamlessly go between like a sermon and a slide. And it's very strange.
Yeah. Who knew that we would need all of those tech skills, you know, because like I'm great producing live shows. You know, that's kind of my, like, I've been a producer since I started, but transferring that to Zoom is, you know, like you want it to be seamless and you want everything to be boom, boom, boom. And it's like, it's a learning curve for a lot of people.
It's such a learning curve. And then there's, you listen to the Jackie and Lori show, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My favorite.
It is my Monday morning. It's my Monday morning listen. It's, and if it comes out, sometimes when it comes out on a Sunday night before I go to bed, it's my Sunday night listen.
Ooh, I usually save it.
But yeah, I thought it was fascinating to listen to Jackie in particular talk about like all of the learnings on, because I've been to one or two of the shows that she's produced. Mm-hmm. And as they figured out, like, unmute a certain number of people, only unmute the people who look like they're not distracted and they're not, like, that are sitting quietly. And because, yeah, the great thing about stand-up comedy is I have found nothing in my life that feels as good as people laughing, as, like, making a room laugh. And the adrenaline of, like, having been on stage, even if it's 3 minutes and it sucked.
Yeah.
Like a bad night of stand-up comedy is still better than like most other things.
It really is. It's so visceral and it's fun on Zoom. And, you know, I've also really benefited from hearing Jackie and Lori talk about like how Lori had just figured out, or one of them had, like, they set up the computer so that they could pace in the back, like it was a bar. Yeah. And it's just like, yes, why didn't I think of that? Like, I've had friends putting on other shows that have gotten really savvy about, like, they're holding their Shure mic that is wireless. They can walk around. You know, you get the full range of motion. And after shows, I find myself being very tense because I'm seated because I have this foot injury still, you know.
Right.
You know, any live event is different, but stand-up is especially cruel that we have to do it this way, you know?
Yeah. I did go this week to, last week, I guess, the play purview of Chad Deity, The Elaborate Entrance of Chad Deity, it's a play by Christopher Diaz. It premiered in Chicago 10 years ago. Or no, 10 years ago it was off Broadway. So like 11 or 12 years ago it premiered in Chicago. And it is a play about professional wrestling and race and politics. So like Desmond Borges, I also just heard him yesterday like pronounce his name five different ways on an interview. Usman Ali. So they play two of the wrestlers and they did a Zoom reading of it. And it was fascinating how they translated this play about wrestling, which is a very physical stage performance, and made it work on Zoom, and how they did some punches between, and like one guy would punch and then the other guy would go flying across, you know.
That's a lot of choreography.
It was a lot of choreography. But I think it's so hard to figure out.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's neat to see people really, really do it well. I'm also the marketing director for a new theater company that kind of sprang up in all of this. It's called Rachel Lynette Theater Company. But Rachel is super smart at having actors in only a few rehearsals figure out how to do entrances and exits and hide their video. So when someone comes on, whoop, their video comes up.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, it's like, okay, this is theater. Like I am, you know, they can, you know, it's sort of like taking a punch in another screen is really hard to do. So it's amazing when actors just like snap to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just takes a few people. Like, it's one of those things that once you see it done, you can start to imagine how to do it. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what it has taken, is to see, you know, Jackie figuring it out. Like, okay, unmute 10 people. Or Chad Deity saying, here's how you throw a punch between two Zoom. Or, or you said it was Rachel Lynette.
Yes.
The theater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And how do you train your actors to also handle the tech of it?
Yeah.
And be So we aren't just here to talk about stand-up comedy. We are here to talk about one of your other favorite things. So what are we here to talk about today?
We are here to talk about how I have become an insane apartment gardener. That's what I want to talk about. Plants. I want to talk about succulents. I want to talk about Miracle-Gro soil.
I am here for it. I have exactly 3 houseplants, and they are all the same pothos.
Oh, they're so hardy, though. Like, they're survivors.
That is why it's the only plant I have.
Yeah, I started out with, I think my husband even is the one who got me going. He got me 3 little lithops.
What is a lithop?
They're so cool. Well, they gross my sister out because they're called, like the nickname for them is living stones.
Okay.
So they look like rocks. They look like pretty rocks, except that the way they grow is that they're sort of split in the middle and a new plant grows out of them.
Okay.
So they can look a little bit like, they can look a little anal or they can look a little yonic, depending on what they look like. So, but they're really pretty. They look alien, you know, basically like a plant that looks like a rock with a split in the middle.
Are those succulents?
Yes, they are.
All right.
And I think they're, you know, one of those kind of species of plants that are incredibly old, you know, so they look alien. They don't look like, you know, sunflowers. So my husband got me some of those, and our upstairs neighbor at the time when we lived in Rogers Park dumped a beer cooler of water and like soaked all of my plants. And so they all went out at the same time. So that was my first round of them. But I think in that same time, since I had sort of learned how to cultivate like a couple of succulents, I was like, well, I think I could do this. So I had started a new job, and there was a very, very sad house plant in my new office that someone had just sort of like, it might have been like a gift to the secretary or something.
Sure.
Where like they had good intentions, but it basically had just been like left to dry out in a corner.
Yeah.
And it was a hens and chicks, which is a very common kind of succulent.
Okay.
You've probably seen like varieties like this. It's basically like a big mama plant in the middle, and then there's little babies that spring up around it, and that's how it like reproduces. So I took that home, and then I
grow like the roots grow back up and make a little.
Yes. And so you can, the reason why they're called hens and chicks is that they look like a mama hen with babies, but if you cut any of the babies and put them in new soil, they'll grow again that way.
Okay.
So they're sort of like the pothos of succulents, in that they're a desert, you know, plant that's like very easy to keep alive comparatively. And you can propagate them like crazy because they just keep growing. Yeah. So that was the one that really got me going. Like I took that sad houseplant home.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I didn't kill it. It's making babies, you know? And so that sort of like gave me confidence to keep going.
So how long ago did the hen and chick come into your life?
Well, it's funny. It's also kind of tied into my sobriety.
Okay.
So I just hit my 4-year sober anniversary last week.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But I feel like at the time when I first got sober, I was like, I need a hobby that isn't drinking PBR at an open mic.
Yeah.
And so I started this new job in 2016, and that's when I found the sad house plant. And now I still have a ton of babies from it. So from 2016 to now, I've propagated like, I don't even know how many plants. I've given them away as gifts. I've sold some of them. So maybe from that original plant, I've had 10 or 15 new ones.
Wow. That's impressive. That's a lot.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm someone who also deals with depression. Like that's a big part of, you know, unfortunately my life. But I think that like at my bleakest moments, it was sort of like, okay, well, I'm doing a mediocre job at keeping myself alive. Maybe if I fixate on, okay, I got to keep this plant alive, then that's like a nice external, you know, like hobby that gets me out of my head. So that's kind of how that started.
So 4 years ago, you bring home a sad houseplant. Did you ever take one of like the healthier chicks like back to work and say, I did.
And I had a bunch of, I basically had a bunch of babies that I would keep at my desk because I was a front desk, basically receptionist at the time.
Yeah.
So that was like a nice, like, look, I took the sad thing and now it's pretty. But, you know, the reality is that a lot of people get succulents or they get houseplants and they think like, this will be great in my office. Like, this is like a low stress, you know, low light plant. And in reality, like, it's a little bit more sophisticated than that. Like, plants won't really grow great under fluorescent lighting, right. And especially if it's like very humid or very dry. And so, you know, I was definitely someone before I really got going with this who killed a lot of plants.
Yeah.
Even though I had really good intentions, you know?
Yeah. I think it is absolutely something that you're in a cubicle or you're like just in the middle of an office. And if there's no natural light, it's just get an artificial plant.
Yeah. And they look better and they won't die. And, you know, I think a lot of people like have lofty ambitions, or worse, it kills me all around Chicago. I'm sure you've noticed this too. Like, if I'm riding on the train or if I'm like walking, you know, by somebody's apartment complex, I just see like roasted plants that like obviously haven't been touched. And it's like, oh my God, at least take the dead corpse of that plant out of your window.
Right. I'm sure I've been that person in the past.
Oh, yeah, me too, for sure. But now I know better. So.
Yeah. Had outdoor plants. Your neighbor murdered them all.
Yes.
And then you murdered the neighbor.
It's funny, actually. That neighbor wound up, we had this, Rogers Park was an interesting time in my life. We had kind of slumlord landlords.
Yeah.
And there was always shady stuff happening. And we actually wound up moving out of that apartment because it was covered in mold. And we caught the maintenance guy Febrezing the wall instead of dealing with it. It was a nightmare. It was this whole thing. But I was going to say that neighbor that murdered my plants was threatened in the middle of the night. One time, like, my husband like heard like basically crazy mafia stuff going down, and that guy wound up moving in the middle of the night one night.
So
he killed my plants, and then who knows what happened to him.
Used to be, I live on Damon in Ravenswood, and there, it's now called like Ravenswood Station, but in 2003, 2004, it was called Simply Ray's, and it was a bar with the best fried zucchini in the city, hands down.
Oh, so good.
They did fried zucchini spears, not like coins. Ray moved out of the bar in the middle of the night once.
That's like the most Chicago shit.
The most world. Chicago thing. He asked his staff to help him carry a couple things out to his car, and then people came for work the next day and it was locked and he just never came back.
That, it's so funny like how often that happens. Like I know of like several instances of like bartender friends, you know, like just going to work and then it's like the bar is like totally locked up, and somebody like the Cubs or the Sox game didn't go well for them, you know, and they're just like, well, gotta go, gotta leave.
Yeah. It's so bizarre. Bizarre. Okay, so you have the hidden chicks, you learn how to propagate it. How do other plants, when do you get like the confidence up to bring more plants into your house?
I feel like there were other instances of sort of like rescuing another plant. Like, it would be like, you know, like the Chicago system of basically just sitting stuff outside. You're like, I'm done with this. Here's an office chair. You know, I feel like I just sort of like took in a lot of strays, which is like how I am in my life anyway.
Yeah.
Like, and so I feel like I did that. And then I was trying to think, like, I feel like when I moved to this apartment, I'm in Uptown now, and I've been here for about 4 years. Yeah, I guess it was like a sober move thing. I got a couple of little aloes, and I got, I'm just like looking at my plants. A friend gave us a spider plant.
Spider plants are great for propagating.
Yeah, and they're hard to kill, you know, and that was important too. So I feel like I got a couple things, and then I live pretty close to a really cute little mom and pop florist, and she's also somebody who's really into succulents and really into terrariums. And so I've gone and gotten a couple of, you know, interesting, ugly succulents there.
Okay.
Yeah. Or on Southport. So I've just sort of like built my collection, you know, up over the years and kind of gotten like one interesting plant at a time. And it's just like, okay, did I kill this? No. Good. You know?
Yeah. Do you do any food gardening, or is it all plant garden? That's a weird separation.
No, but that's okay. Totally, like, you know, and I keep saying, it's funny, as a sober person, I keep saying, like, I'm growing edible stuff. And then it's like, oh, I don't mean edibles. Like, I don't, right. nobody freak out. But yeah, I love bell peppers. They're just like one of my staple things that I've always like eaten. Like my mom, even one time, she found this insane bell pepper clock for me at this thrift store. And she's like, here, number one pepper person. So I'm really into those. And in the quarantine, I feel like, I guess it was like before March, I was like, you know what? I'm going to plant some bell pepper seeds and I'm going to see like what happens.
Yeah.
With that. So I wound up, I just planted some bell pepper seeds and I have since grown bell peppers in my living room. Yeah.
So oh,
I
actually inside. Have,
yes. Yeah. I'm kind of like I'm off like a major street. And so I don't have like a yard or sure. a back porch or anything. So it's all indoors. But yeah, so I'm especially proud that I planted these little seeds and then they grew up.
Yeah. And have you had some bell peppers yet this summer? Are they still ripening or?
I had one big one. And so I was very proud. I kept posting pictures on Twitter of my like pepper progress. So it grew to like about like maybe 4 inches, really small, but still it was like red. It looked like a pepper. And so I cut that up and I actually pickled that, recently. That was my first like harvest. It's like one little pepper.
Okay.
But then, I've planted some more stuff and I'm doing one of those like vegetable subscription boxes now.
Yeah.
And I so I'm just, one. Yeah. And it's whatever, like, but I've been saving the seeds because I keep thinking like, I'm actually going to do it the right way and like plant things and, you know, harvest them right and all that.
Yeah. I did, I signed up for Nichols Farm this year. And it's the first year I've ever done a CSA, and it is as relentless and stressful as I imagined it would be. And you're lucky that you're married and you have another person to help eat the vegetables, because it's just, there have been a couple weeks where I've just called friends. I'm like, you just have to take all of them. I can't look at another fresh vegetable this week. I can't imagine what to do with more sweet corn.
Yeah.
I've eaten so much sweet corn this summer and I love sweet corn, but it is relentless. Yeah.
But in like every meal, you know, it's like, okay, I can't have corn for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Yeah. We're doing like Misfit Market, sort of like Imperfect or whatever. And I think the whole reason that I've stuck with it is that I get to pick what's in it. And so it's been really nice to like, okay, I need a bunch of potatoes and then those won't go bad, you know, and then like zucchini and stuff that isn't like, because I've also gotten weird stuff like nectarines or a couple of like types of plums. And it's just like, it's 50-50 on whether it arrives in the Chicago heat, you know, and isn't
it's
gross.
It's still edible. Yeah.
Yeah. With apartment gardening in general, it's very like, I'm going to try this and see what happens. You know, like I've definitely still like, I've planted a bunch of like apple seeds and some kind of citrus something, and like they haven't budged at all. And so if that doesn't happen, then it's okay. I'm in no way able to like grow my own food or fruit or anything, you know?
Yeah. I did a celery heart and water, you know, at the beginning of quarantine, because I was like, oh, this is so responsible. And I was just like, there's like one celery leaf on it and it's...
Yeah, and if people say like, oh, you take the avocado pit and you plant it, and I'm just like, that is not how that works. Like,
no.
It's a very delicate, like, plants are sophisticated.
Yeah.
You're lazy, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I'm like, it would be, if I had a kid, mm-hmm. I would absolutely be doing the thing where like it's all in a pan of water and the roots and
yeah.
But like as an adult. Mm-hmm. Out kids, like why?
Yeah, you've got bills to pay. You got coffee to make.
And I have meals to eat that need more than one leaf of celery.
Exactly. And I'm definitely not the type that's like making an Instagram account, like making it all cute. Like I just, life is too hard. You know, I have depression. It's like I water it. Great. That's kind of as good as it gets.
You also mentioned at the beginning Miracle-Gro soil. So you have opinions about soil?
I do, but it's funny. The reason why I mentioned that, I guess, is that there's a lot of succulent groups on Facebook, and that's been a big part of my success with it. I've been able to post, like, and be like, what the hell is this? Like, what do I do? And people have been, like, very generous with their time of saying, like, okay, like, you can't propagate it this way, you have to do this, and like to make sure that you keep it alive, you have to do this. I've gotten a lot of support from that, but it's really funny in the same way that people have opinions on when you should harvest stuff, when you should grow stuff, like right. that. Like people are very like touchy about soil, and so living on the north side of Chicago, like without a car, I just sort of have had to like go to the hardware store down the street and like get some soil. And it's not really like, you also can't like ship this. You can't ship a lot of stuff like easily, like with plants or soil. Yeah. And so like when I first started posting in those groups, I was like, okay, I've got one terracotta pot. I broke the other one when it came in. Like I've got this Miracle-Gro soil. Like what can I do? And there's a lot of people that would be like, my plants would never touch Miracle-Gro. Like you can't do that. You have to have a 25% perlite, a 25% soil rock, you know? And I'm just like, I am dealing with what's at Ace Hardware.
Like, right.
So, but you know, then I joke that like I've used this like subpar soil or whatever and had really good results, you know? So, so it's gone okay. And I've definitely had plants that like, there were a couple of succulent varieties that like I tried so hard to keep alive, but the reality of living in like the extremely hot or extremely cold Midwest, like yeah. I'm doing the best I can with plants that would be happier in Mexico.
Sure. Do you do any, so when I, one of the pothos that I have, I had a program that ended and on our last night, everybody was supposed to bring a gift. So I got these like little tiny milk jars and I put a pothos in each one and I did the, like I dipped them all in the root starter and it's been a year and some people in the group were really successful transferring it to soil. Other people, not so much. But it's been really, it was a really fun. But it was the first time I'd ever done like a root starter powder thing.
Yeah. And some people have like really big opinions on like, you shouldn't ever use any like nutrient drops or like fertilizer or anything like that. Yeah. Like it just varies so wildly. Like some people would be like, root starter is poison. How dare you?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it gets very heated in the succulent groups. So I've never used that, but I am having a problem with mealybugs right now, which sort of comes and goes. And that's where people have suggested stuff like, synthetic things to treat that.
Are mealybugs a soil problem or a leaf problem?
Both. If you've ever seen a house plant, or especially like a cactus with any like white webbing on it anywhere,
yeah,
that's mealybugs. And it's sort of like a parasite that's like fungus or something where as soon as you have it, it becomes like a problem that can infect like your whole garden.
Oh.
So outdoors, it wouldn't be such a big thing because you know, you can water differently, you can move plants and stuff, but indoors, in my tiny studio apartment where everything is clustered together, like if
right.
one plant gets affected, then a lot of others, you know, will too. So
okay.
And it starts, it can start on a leaf, but, basically when you start seeing like that white, like webbing, sticky stuff, it could mean that it's in the soil. It can mean that it's tangled up in roots. I don't really know how they work, but I would guess that it's like they're laying eggs or something.
Sure.
And then, you know, that's coming up to the plant.
Oh, wow. So people are, what are the suggestions that you've been getting on that?
Well, there's a couple of different thoughts. It is just like a living like bug, you know, that you can get rid of. So a lot of people will take Q-tips with alcohol on them, like rubbing alcohol, and like sort of, you know, scoop out any places that they see like a congregation of that. But then the other thing that people do is they use neem oil, which I haven't used, but it's basically like, you know, something akin to an astringent that will burn off the plant without harming it.
Okay.
Yeah, other people use dish soap. It's basically just you want to wash all the bugs off, you know, and get them out of there.
Wow. That's wild.
Yeah, and it's interesting. There's, you know, even though I have like a couple of little, you know, terracotta pots with these little, like, very lonely succulents in them, you know, in the wild that they would grow in, you know, together and all that. There's a whole ecosystem within them, you know, like you can get like mealy bugs and gnats and, you know, that sort of thing. And then it just makes you realize, oh, wow, like there's this one tiny little cactus that has all this growing on it that I, you know, a dumb human barely can comprehend.
Do you do any like terrariums or any of... I'm like drawing a terrarium with my hands, like it's an energy ball
I haven't yet. It seems a little bit, it's a little daunting. The florist that I go to down the street, she loves making them. And she's like, oh my gosh, since you have so many varieties and you propagate so much, just throw them in there and see what happens, you know? But yeah, so she's big into that and I haven't done it yet, but I'm really curious about people that grow. I don't know if you've seen this trend. I think it's Japanese. They grow like moss balls.
No.
And I'm making the shape with my hands. Yeah. But it's really freaky. Like, you know, you would see like moss on trees. That's like bright green and like very appealing. There's a type of moss that will grow over a ball. And so what people do is they suspend them in water.
Okay.
And it's basically like a kind of terrarium in that it's moss is very self-sufficient. You got to Google this. It sounds insane.
I'm going to.
Yeah. But so I would really like to get into moss. And then my husband recently showed me this crazy documentary about slime mold. And so now I'm kind of like, oh my God, what if I did like moss and slime mold or like mushrooms or something that's a little bit more like sophisticated than what I've been doing.
Yeah. My dad growing up... he would grow his own morel mushrooms.
Ooh, that's really cool.
Yeah, so my dad used to grow morel mushrooms, and he would get, like, wooden pallets. Like, right? It's, like, little kid memory.
Yeah.
So I feel like he would get, like, wooden pallets, and then he must have, like, added extra boards to it and then fill it with soil and, I guess, mushroom spores, and then it would just... grow morel mushrooms so you didn't have to go hunting for them in the spring. Yeah.
That's so cool. There's I actually just ordered one for my mom. You can order little tiny mushroom grow kits. And the idea is that you're basically propagating them and harvesting them kind of over and over, you know, like, and it's sort of like a little it's funny. I ordered this for my mom's birthday and they still haven't come in, but that's fine. But they're like basically like a little sort of like your dad built, like they're a little box and you're, you know, the spores are in there and you're basically growing them. So I would love that. I would go to the Andersonville farmer's market.
Yeah.
And there was a really good mushroom guy there. And so I got really into getting like lion's head mushrooms and a couple of like freaky varieties that are really good. So maybe mushrooms are going to be my next thing. I'll have to ask your dad when I get around to it.
I could see mushrooms being a really good indoor plant.
Yeah. I'm sure that there's somebody in like a, in an apartment garden somewhere in Wrigleyville, like growing like magic mushrooms in their garden level.
Just, like, oh, I'm sure.
With the lights. And
yeah, I suspect that's true. And then do you do any, like, do you have any like basil or any like herbs, or is like the bell pepper the main food item?
The bell pepper is the exciting item right now. I actually have like, I can see from here, like four little peppers growing, which is exciting after my first one. But now I've, in my other apartment, when I had a porch, I would do herbs outside.
Yeah.
But it's really hard. They either need a lot of light or no light. And, you know, compared to what my very sunny apartment gets. So I've actually, and that's another thing that's funny in the quarantine. Like in the past, I would just like hop on the train and then like go to like a really good florist. And now like, I think I've gone out of my neighborhood like for doctor's appointments twice, but I just don't get around, you know?
It's been so hard. I think from like March 15th to maybe June before I got back on the CTA. You know, it's super weird. And, but yeah, I'm like, what can I do within three blocks of my house?
Exactly. And my hardware store that I was going to, freaking closed because they're renovating the building. And so like now I used to go visit my friend in Humboldt, and I would go to Adams and Sons. Have you ever been to them? Oh, they have like the best plant store in the world. It's like you walk in and they have like this whole like cactus room.
Yeah.
And it's one of those sort of old school Chicago places where it's like, I think it was probably one big old building and then they just added another building to it. So basically you walk in and there's just like rooms and rooms of plants.
Oh, wow.
And so I used to like go visit my friends and pop in there all the time. And now I'm popping in nowhere. Like we go and get tacos down the street. I don't know if you can hear my husband munching tortilla chips nearby. But we sort of have, I don't know, you probably do too in Ravenswood, this like little block of your, like, this is my activity, you know?
Yeah, I have the CVS is like 3 blocks away. Mm-hmm. The Mariano's is 4. Mm-hmm. And then in between that, I've got a couple coffee shops that I might pop into. Mm-hmm. I've got a brunch place that I'll get brunch to go.
I know, you can't even go to your brunch place anymore. That's like, so like, I would go to both. I used to live by the old one, but I would go to Ann Sather and get some cinnamon rolls, you know, and it's like, I can't do that anymore.
Yeah, it is really weird not to just how, because I have this theory of Chicago that is less true when you're going to open mics, but like in my non-comedy years is like, essentially your life is shaped like a dumbbell. Mm-hmm. So there's like an orbit around where you work and there's an orbit mm-hmm. around your house. And then there's the way the CTA connects the two places.
Yes, exactly.
And to have like the whole work side of that cut off and you're just mm-hmm. like, okay, I guess I just live in this very small part of Chicago now.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. I used to, I was laid off from my job, last year, like a long time office job that I had, and they had moved. I had moved to a different part of the company, and so I was working on division. And so I used to joke that like my life, no matter what I'm doing, whether it's comedy or work, was taking the X9 bus up Ashland.
Yeah.
Just that's my route. Like everything in my life is between like, you know, Lakeview and then the Wicker Park area.
Yeah.
And so it's like all the, you know, you've got all the mics in between there. I used to run a show in my neighborhood. So in my dumbbell, you know, I had a show at the Crowd Theater. And so I would just like walk up there, or I would do shows in Belmont or, you know, Division, Ukrainian Village, like West Town kind of shows. And, you know, and now that's like, just like you said, like cut off. Like I
cut
stopped
off,
going that way. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
super weird.
So it is the strangest thing. And once I got this car, I called a friend and I was like, do you just want to go drive up and down Lakeshore Drive and see if the downtown is still there?
That sounds amazing. Congrats on your car, by the way. That's huge. I've considered getting one too because of all of this. Like, oh.
Yeah, it's been, haven't had a car in 18 years.
Yeah.
And then this, I mean, I lasted until 2 weeks ago. And then I was just like, I got on Carvana and Carvana makes it, and this is not an ad, but it makes it so easy. And I decided not to do a ton of research because I was like, as soon as I start doing research, I'm going to get frozen.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll talk yourself out of it.
Talk myself out of it. And so I had a friend who had a Nissan Altima and I've known him for a long time. And so I was like, all right, Andy said to get it, so I'm going to get it.
That's a good car. I had a friend get a Civic recently, and like an older Civic, but those, like, both cars are tanks.
They'll last forever. So
yeah.
I hope that this is my first car in 18 years and my last car for maybe not 18. I hope I don't have to have a car for the rest. Like, maybe this will just be like I might also find out that I actually love having a car, so I might have it longer than I, you know.
But that's so interesting though. Like, you obviously lived in the city, you know, for a long time, and I left. I have a terrible Mad Max looking Lincoln Continental back home, like one of those 90s, like grandma, you know, cars, and it's rusted out. And like, it was like such a, like, so integral to my early comedy life because I was just like a dirt bag, like in this terrible car, like the driver's door didn't open after a while. So I would have to climb in. And so I'm just, So I left that car back in Arkansas because I thought that I would get it to Chicago and it would like die in its parking space, you know, like as soon as I got here. But because of all this, I've been, you know, thinking like I moved here basically because when I was trying to decide between New York and LA, you know, like you're supposed to do, for comedy, Chicago has such incredible, public transit. And so like COVID has made me really reevaluate that and be like, well, if this is sort of taken out of the equation for a while, what would it be like if I had a car? And, you know, like I live so close to Wrigley that like parking would be a nightmare. And that's kind of been the main deterrent,
Yeah. But if you live, because I used to live at like school in Southport, so we just had parking permits for the neighborhood. Yeah. And they do, if you're on a permitted street, like they police it. So like if you have a permit, it works.
Yeah.
And if you're like two blocks outside of the permit area, then you're fucked. So.
Yeah. No, I know. It's so like when I was planning on moving here, my friends were just like, okay, when you move, if you bring your car, you have to factor in the cost of paying so many parking tickets.
Right.
They're like, you're just going to pay them. Like, just don't even.
Yeah. So let's, can we talk a little bit about your web comic, since that has not been on much, like, since you don't need to be able to go into bars and open mics to have a web comic.
Yeah. Yeah. It was weirdly fortuitous. And, you know, I'm not like a religious person, but I do sort of believe in the idea that like things happen at the right time, you know, or maybe like what feels like the wrong time is actually, you know, right. So I, so, you know, I've been sober for a couple of years, but, last October, I was just sort of thinking about how there's a lot of movies and TV shows and, you know, even comic books about people hitting rock bottom and having to get sober. Like, that's a very, like, kind of common narrative of, like, you see somebody's life crash and burn, and then they have to get sober. But I've seen less things about what it's like to stay sober.
Yeah.
Because it's not as fun and sexy to talk about that, frankly, you know, to like be a healthy person with boundaries. And, yeah, you know, like I, you know, my rock and roll early years of stand up would be the cinematic experience, you know?
Right.
So sometime in October I was, I'd been trying in various ways to sort of talk about what it was like to get sober. And I had started several different like graphic novels or short, you know, basically shorts being like, okay, this is the dramatic, moody stuff that happens. And then in that same time, just sort of to, you know, not be so depressing, I was like sort of doodling like about sobriety. And I did this doodle of this rabbit throwing up in the toilet, which was most of my drunk years, throwing up, you know, just throwing up nonstop. So I showed it to my friend. And in my head, it was like very like serious and sad, like, oh, this bunny is dealing with alcoholism. And I showed it to my friend on the bus and she's like, that is the funniest thing I've ever seen. And so I was like, you know what? Like, what if actually I approached this whole angle from more of a comedic perspective?
Yeah.
And what if it wasn't about the rock bottom stuff? So I started drawing this little rabbit and sort of putting in all of the feelings that I had wanted to put into serious work, you know, of like how difficult it is to lose people and to, you know, change your, you know, change your ways and not go to that corner bar that you used to like to, you know? And so this sort of, it morphed into drawing about the rabbit, you know, experience and all those things. So in, I guess the middle of October last year, I started Sober Rabbit, and it's very basic. It's, you know, what happens when you get sober. So the rabbit doesn't really even have a name other than Rabbit. And you see him and his friends like Brenda the Pigeon, and there's a dog named Artie. There's a squirrel named Shelby. You see basically these other little animals dealing with mental illness and addiction and just sort of the things that happen around that, you know, like losing people and changing your patterns. And so it's very simple. And I post a new comic to Instagram every Friday. And in the first couple of months of it, it was just sort of establishing characters. But at this point, coming up on a year, I'm starting to move into longer story arcs and sort of more complete, you know, ideas versus like one-offs.
That's great. So Sober Rabbit is on Instagram, and I do drink, but like my parties always have like a great selection of juices and fizzy waters and mock things to make like interesting non-alcoholic drinks, because I think it's important that people shouldn't have to ask or make a show of like not drinking. It should just be like a clear alternative that's good to have. And so I think there's a lot for people who didn't either like grow up knowing someone sober or haven't yet reached the part of their life where their friends are getting sober. There's a lot to learn there.
Yeah, and that's awesome that you do that. That's one of the go-to things that I talk about when people ask, like, well, how can I be more accommodating, you know, for somebody who's newly sober? Like, I was just telling 12 stud friends that I didn't know anybody sober. Like, I really didn't.
Right.
You know, I know that there were people in my life that were privately getting sober and dealing with it, but that's not a culture that I'm familiar with, you know, in the South. I'm sure not unlike Indiana, you know, you drink until you die or until, you know, some catastrophic thing like makes you quit, but there's not this sort of like space to do that. And so, you know, I always say just like, just having Coke, just having a Coca-Cola at your party is just so massively nice for people who are, you know, struggling with that.
And have it, and having a Coke is a nice place to start, but like buy as many interesting. And now that there's like, I mean, so many fizzy waters. There's so much more than just soda available now that there wasn't. Like my dad just drank tonic water for years. Cause it was like, if you didn't want to have a regular soda or water or milk, like in the 80s and 90s, like what else was there to drink?
Yeah. And it's funny to go to bars now and they have like LaCroix just because it's popular. It was so interesting when I first quit and like, I would be at like a terrible Wrigleyville open mic and I would be like, well, what do you have that's not beer, you know, and not like a soft drink. And they would just like, look at me like, what do you mean not beer and not soft drink? Like, what's wrong with you? Like,
yeah. So you do a new, I'm just scrolling through your Instagram right now and there's a little Zoom meeting.
Yeah, I draw. It's so funny. I was just, I think I joked about it in the comic, but like for the time being, whenever I depict 12 step meetings, I'm going to have to draw Zoom meetings, you know, because that's what we're working with. Yeah. It's, and I know that just like with comedy, you know, people are trying to find, and obviously God, like going to a meeting for your sobriety or your eating disorder is like way more serious than trying to go to a mic. But I know that a lot of people are like sort of making those same decisions of like, you know, is it important for me to go in person? And then if so, like, how can I be safe about that?
Yeah.
So I really applaud anybody that's trying to figure out like 12 step meetings outside. Cause like, you know, I get it. I miss them too. You know,
it's so important to make to find the space for that community and that work, and especially in such a fucking this time
nightmare world. Yes,
nightmare this, world. I'm running out of world. Like adjectives
I
for
know.
This world. So you've got Threadless. You've got stuff up on Threadless. You have a Patreon.
I do, and I've just, as of this week, I've started selling original pieces on a site called Big Cartel.
Okay.
So I actually sold out my first round of original stuff, which was very exciting, yeah. And thanks to everybody who bought stuff. But I'm going to be refreshing that shop on, like, a weekly basis. So basically, if anybody wants to read the comic, buy stuff, whether that's printed stuff from Threadless or they want to buy original work, they can just go to soberrabbit.com and they'll be like, there's links to everything.
Fantastic. Is there anything I haven't asked you about either indoor planting, about apartment gardens or your webcomic or the state of stand-up comedy in a global pandemic?
There's so much to discuss.
What's left unsaid?
Well, I would just say that if anybody feels, I feel about sobriety now that I do, like, not unlike I do with gardening, which is like, if you're curious about either thing, like if you think that maybe sobriety would be good for you, as crazy as it sounds, like all of this downtime because of the pandemic is a great time to explore that. And I feel like putting your hands in the soil, you know, measuring pH levels, getting right levels of sunlight, it's a really great hobby that you can fixate on, and you're growing stuff.
Yeah.
So for me, it's so linked to getting sober and being healthier, being like, well, why don't I like make something? Like, why don't I have something that I'm cultivating, you know? So it's a big joke to say like, oh, you know, get a kind of cactus that you can't kill And I do want to like say for the record, it's really easy to kill a cactus.
It's so easy.
Maybe like a pothos instead, or maybe like a snake plant, you know. But I would just say, like, if anybody's curious about gardening, that they should dive into it, because especially like because of Facebook groups, because of even Instagram groups, you know, there's so many different resources online for growing plants that it becomes like a really cool, engrossing hobby.
I love it. Thank you. It does make me want to do a little bit more careful care of my, I mean, I have pothos because they are impossible to murder, but I do need to do, I think I'm looking at one that I do think is probably ready for like a pot split soon. Mm-hmm. Well, Whitney, this has been a delight. I'm real grateful for Jackie Cation fandom bringing us together.
Yes. Let's hang out in real life sometime.
Yes.
When we can.
Yes. After the inauguration, if not sooner.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
Awesome. Well, have a great afternoon.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Finding Favorites with Leah Jones. Please make sure to subscribe and drop us a 5-star review on iTunes. Now, go out and enjoy your favorite things.